Thankful to be here tonight. Uncle Bill looked over at Cooper and I and asked if one of us wanted to open up. So I told Cooper I'd open up if he preached tonight. So I'm just messing with him. But it's good to be here tonight. I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful for my family. I'm just extremely thankful. Right now is a period of time where we can reflect back on our lives and reflect back on all the things God's done for us. And we've certainly been through a lot of valleys in the last year, but I've been on the mountaintop more often than I've been in the valley, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for the goodness of God tonight. But we'll ask, if you will, everyone, please stand to your feet, and we're going to ask Jay to say a prayer.
We pray, Lord, that your will be done this evening, Lord. Whatever is accomplished, we'll be sure to give you the praise for that in Jesus' holy name.
Amen. We'll turn over to Brother Taylor in the choir.
Page 179.
Yeah.
Oh. Service here today. At this time, we'll have our choir come down and we're going to turn it over to whoever's going to open up tonight.
Certainly glad to be here. We've got a nice crowd for day before Thanksgiving. A lot of people have activities and cooking. We're just so thankful to have each and every one that's here. Thank all of our visitors that we have. Seen Brother Trey come in, and we're thankful he's here. And we wonder at this time if anyone would have an unspoken prayer request. For all those hands. Any spoken requests? I have one. The Lord knows all about it. And thankful that He can hear our thoughts and hear our prayers and answer them.
They sent him to Texas. They think they may have some sort of trial drug that he can try. He's back here now. He's been very sick. Text him today. Say he was feeling a little better today, but please remember him and his family.
I remember that. Anyone else have a spoken request?
Church and that service on my heart. I'd like to ask the church
remember Neil's dad too. We're just was so shocked that Brother Don passed away so quick, but that just goes to show you that we don't have tomorrow if God don't want to give it to us, you know. And Roger Carter, yep. Tom Shuey's a good friend of mine. His father-in-law is 93. He fell and broke his hip today. So remember him. Anyone else? If there's no one else, we'd ask everyone to come in for prayer. We'd ask Brother Billy Ray to lead us.
Our most kind and gracious and always living Father, as once again, we thank our hearts and life before you this evening. How we thank thee for this great opportunity that you put us together with our brothers and sisters and the Lord, whom we love to worship with, Father. And when we're way down in the valley, Father, we can help each other up, Father. Father, we might be able to point some lost soul on that marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for these requests this evening, Father, for people that are sick. Father, you know where they're at. God, you know what they need. And we just pray, Lord, that they come. Make their peace call so next since you are ready to go in that to a better country when life is over and done with. And we pray tonight that everyone here that don't know them, we pray that you and I pray you might speak to their heart and their soul this evening, that they might come and find this great salvation and that Christ is in their heart. Father, you know our heart. You know all about us. God, we just ask you to have your way in each heart and each life here this evening. Help us all that.
Come before you with thanksgiving and praise, God. Let your will be done in each and every one of us for your glory and answer each request our Father who are here. Lord, just let your will be done in this service. Bless every effort.
I had one more request. My grandson Evan, his girlfriend rear-ended a school bus, and she was taken to hospital for whiplash, and thankful none of the kids were hurt on the bus, and she's just devastated that she had that accident, but she's a young driver, and you know, sometimes we don't pay attention. I asked Evie, I said, was she texting? He said, no, her phone was dead, Grandpa. She wasn't texting. She just looked down and just didn't react in time to stop. Sure thankful to be here, and we're thankful for Brother Trey. I seen him walk in. I seen the little miracle she's holding, and that's precious to have a child, and it's truly a miracle. And nothing on earth greater than a mother's love. And we don't have a whole lot. I thought all day, I thought, what am I going to talk about? That's what all I can do is tell you. I'm thankful I'm saved. Yeah. It was real. I'm glad it's that way. When you get the right thing, it's real. Anybody else have a testimony? I don't know who, if Brother Terry called one of you or if he didn't. Okay. Well, I guess we'll say ever who's got it on their heart to bring a message, we'll call on you. I guess I can go down the list like Terry does, but I'd rather ever who's got it just get up. Come on. Okay.
me something to do. I like to be up in front of everybody. I thought at my job at work, I try to do a good job for them. And it's an honor when God gives me something to do. And it's a joy. There's nerves, you get nervous, but so I usually like to be up front where somebody can hear me. Because like I said, it's an honor when God gives us something to do. It's a job that, like I said, I fear it, but it's a joy. But Mike was talking about Don, and I got to say I really didn't know Don that well. It seems like our church is so big, and I don't get to be here a lot because of my job, but so there's a lot of faces. You'll say a name, and I really, who is that? But if you show me a face, but from what I hear, Don was a very, very good Christian, a good man. But I was going back through, there were some pictures on the internet of the service they had for the veterans. And I think that was, what, November the 11th, if my memory serves me. Well, there was a picture of Don sitting there. Well, we just had his funeral yesterday. So I think that's around 16 days or so. My question to you, if you knew you had 16 more days to live, would that change your thought process? If you're not saved, or if you're not doing what God wants you to do, in 16 days would you change what you're doing? Because Don didn't know in 16 days he was going to be up here. We were going to be, they were preaching his funeral. But it just really put things in. I guess in perspective that 16 days, and I think my math's right, that's close there. And but yeah, it's just 16 days, and he was lively having dinner, and yesterday we buried him. So really think about that. I don't know who's going to stand and preach. I'm praying God will have somebody, but please listen to what they say. But if you had 16 days, what would you do?
Take that. Anyone else have anything? Yeah. I'll run out of what to say here. I think you got a big mouthful when you get up here and it goes away. But we're going to call on one of these preachers. Andrew Cooper. Trey, you got something? They're shaking their head no. Your grandpa loved to hear you anyway. Pray for him. We appreciate him, and I'm sure Terry would be glad to hear you, and all of us will too. Yeah, appreciate you, buddy.
I feel like I'm back when I used to sit on the front bench. Me and these guys used to try and get the other one up to preach, and it's been a while since I've had to do that. But I appreciate being in the Lord's house, and don't miss Thanksgiving. Don't let it pass you by. We get so busy at the holiday season that we can miss Thanksgiving and miss Christmas, and we get so busy, we buy gifts and spend money and cook food, but without the Lord and without His blessings, we'll miss Thanksgiving if we don't focus in Him, and we don't, at Christmas time, if we're not focused on the babe laying in a manger, we'll miss those things. And I really desire your prayers. I didn't know if we'd stand or not, but Lord's kind of give us a thought. And Doug, I'm a little bit hot. Can you turn me down just a little bit? I appreciate that. And I want to say one thing before we read. I just want to tell you how much I love you. And saying that from this place, If you can't say that, you probably shouldn't take this place. If you don't have love for your brothers and sisters, you've missed out. And the Bible says we know we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Bob, I got love for you in my heart. And it goes farther than that. And the Bible says that if you're good to your brother, that's easy to do. If people that love on you, it's real easy to love them back, Kay. But those that do you wrong, if you can do them good, that's when you know that you've got the love of God in your heart. And the Bible tells us, how can we hate our brother who we've seen and love God who we've not seen? And I'm so glad it's farther than a natural love. It's a love of God. And the Bible says that God is love, and I'm thankful for his love tonight. I want to read from two places, if we can, tonight. One in Genesis chapter number 3, and we'll read from Luke chapter 23. Genesis chapter 3 and Luke 23, and I beg for your prayers tonight. You preachers know just where we're at. If the Lord don't move, I'm glad to take my seat, but I'm praying for power to preach and power to give the word of God, to break the bread of life. And the Lord has been so good to us. And there I'll start in Genesis chapter 3, very familiar scripture. Right after that Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, God placed a curse upon them. And if you've not been saved, you are yet under the curse. And the Bible says, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. That's from Deuteronomy. And when we think about the Son of God, that he was sinless, that he was perfect in everything that he did, when he went to Calvary, Uncle Bill, he took the curse of man upon himself and defeated that in victory. Look with me, if you will, at Genesis 3, verse number 15, and we'll read a few verses and turn to Luke 23. This is the curse. He spoke first to the woman. He said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake." And I really want you to remember that. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. "In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field." And one more verse. "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Now go with me into the book of Luke in chapter number 23, where we want to read. I want to read just a few, very short, maybe just one verse. Look with me to verse number 26, Luke 23, verse 26. And it says this, "And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus." And so the last several weeks, I've been preaching a lot around the cross, and here's the thought that God gave me, been a few months ago, what can we find at Calvary? And I began to think, and Brother Andrew, I began to study and began to look, and I found a list just so long I can never
probably preach all those things, but I'm glad we've got a friend at Calvary. There is a friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I began to look, there is forgiveness at Calvary. When Jesus was there and he was hanging on the cross, he looked out and he never said, "Father, condemn them." He said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." I'm glad we can find forgiveness at Calvary. As the two thieves were hanging beside him, I found myself there at Calvary. We can say this, that there are sinners at Calvary. You ought to be thankful tonight that sinners are welcome at Calvary. But here's the thought that's in my heart and what I want to preach to you tonight. There is dirt at Calvary. There's dirt at Calvary. And I may need to dig just for a few minutes before we can preach. And would you please pray for me? Bill, I need you tonight just to dig down in your heart and pray. Let me take you to the place of a skull, what the Bible calls Golgotha's Hill. And there, long before Jesus was ever hung and ever crucified there, somebody had to come and make some preparation. And I want to say that before God ever created the world, before he ever said, "Let there be light," I want you to know God looked out yonder and he saw the cross of Calvary. The cross was never an afterthought. It was never God's backup plan for Jesus to come die at Calvary. That ought to be good news to us tonight. From before the foundation of the world, Jesus saw the cross. And when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. When I was there, when Jesus was there dying, he looked out, I believe, a few thousand years into the future and saw a little boy that would need to be saved. And I believe tonight he's looking out at Lima Missionary Baptist Church and he sees some little lost souls that need to be saved. Preacher, how can we be saved if there's dirt at Calvary? But I want to take you right here. Before Jesus ever got to Calvary, I want you to know that they took him and they slapped him across the face. They gave him a private trial in the midst of the night. They took him away. A whole band of soldiers came and there they began to try him and question him. But watch this. They turned him over to the Gentiles. He was found as guilty before the Jews and they gave him over to Pilate. And when Pilate looked at him, he came out before the people and he said, "I find no fault in this man." He said, "I wash my hands of it." He said, "I'll have no part in it." But still yet, look right there down in that water pot that Pilate began to wash his hands in. There was some dirt down in the water. I want you to know we are but dirty people. I'll get there in a minute. But before Jesus ever got to Calvary, Pilate took him. And the Bible says in Isaiah 53, he was led like a sheep before his shears is dumb, and he opened not his mouth. But they took him to the place of the pavement, and there with the cat of nine tails, they took that long baton that had leather coming off the end of it and glass and rocks down in the end of each piece, and they stretched his back over the whipping post where you and I deserve to be. Let me take a minute right here and say thank you, Jesus, that I did not have to go to Calvary, but yet you went for me. I deserve to be whipped. I deserve to be beaten. I deserve to be bruised. But yet, Jesus went in our stead. Now let me help you right here. If you can't look towards Calvary and find a blessing, you need to get saved tonight. And I'm glad that the cross, it's got enough power to save anybody and everybody that'll come. But now, a few steps farther, they reached in and they began to plug and rip out sound of the hairs of his beard. And I heard old Art McFarland at New Haven some years ago. He said the reason they did that was so that we could see the very face of God. I'm glad at Calvary I've got a good picture of him. But all these things they did were done in the open. But now let me get to where the message is. Long before Jesus ever got to Calvary, somebody had to take a shovel and dig a hole right there on the top of that mountain. And they dug down and removed that dirt and they made a hole. A preacher, why? So that when he bore the cross, go with me, they bore that cross all the way. And when he got there, they nailed him to the cross and they stood him up, and the cross would go down into that hole, into the dirt. Oh, but so now let me take you, if I can, and listen tonight. I'd like to get right where I can be, right where you're living at. I believe this will pertain to us tonight. And so, right there, all the way back at the very beginning, let me take you through creation just a little bit. The very first day, you know what happened? God spoke and things were created. He said, let there be light, and there was light that was given. On day two and day three, he made the things of the world, the beasts of the sea and the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air. He divided the light from the dark. And all those days, he never touched one thing, Billy. He never touched one thing with his hands. And all the way to day six. Now let me show you this right here. We serve a holy and righteous God. God is separate from this universe. He is not like you and me. He is different than us. He is a holy God and a holy Savior. He has no business getting in dirty things. Now watch. I'm so glad of this. All those days, even up to day six, he never once touched one thing. Oh, but on that day, guess what he did? He looked down and said, I'm going to make man. And he reached down into the dirt and he put his hands there and began to form the man that would walk this earth. How is it that the God of heaven that was holy would reach down into the dust and make you and I? I'm glad when I was but dust, God reached down and he formed me. When you feel like you're dirty, remember that the hand of God can always help you. Oh, I'm glad that he put his hands down in the dirt and he helped us. And so there he made man. Y'all all right tonight? I'd like to preach for a few minutes. Hey, are you out there this evening? Now listen to me. As we go another step farther, we find that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and they were cast out. And there we saw the curse that upon Adam, he said, you'll have to dig in the dust of the earth. Thorns and thistles shall it bear unto you. And I'm going to get to you and me in just a minute. But I want you to see this, that they were cast out because of sin. And there in Romans 7, the Bible, or Romans 5 rather, it said, for by the disobedience of one were many made sinners, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You and I in that place would have done the same thing. Don't think that you are separate from Adam and Eve. We are of the same nature. Now go with me right here. We've got the nature of Adam. We've got the nature of Eve. That means when he had a child, it was passed down unto him. All the dirt that was in Adam, it was passed down to Cain. It was passed down to Abel. It was passed on to Seth. We are just dirty. Preacher, what are you saying? We're just sinful. We are outcasts. We're not welcome in the presence of God. In all of the dirt and all of the shame that's in us, we are separate from him. We are just dirty. That's what we are.
but we are of that nature of man. And as we go a little bit farther forward, let me take you, and let me be in a hurry tonight if I can, all the way into John chapter number 8. Let me take you there. Jesus is about to do something again that is miraculous. Right there, there's a woman that is caught in the act of adultery. Now, let me say, she was caught red-handed. There was no way of her to escape from that condemnation. But right there, they grabbed that woman, and they threw a towel around her in her nakedness, and they grabbed her and they led her right to the feet of Jesus. And right there, they threw her down. And guess where they threw her down into? They threw her down in the dirt. And there she found herself in the dirt of her own sin, in the dirt of the ways of the world. Can I just say something for a minute? There's a lot of dirt that you can find on me. You don't have to look real far. You don't have to do a lot of digging. But I'll tell you that God can take a dirty human and he can clean them up. That is the gospel. That while we were yet sinners, while we were yet in the dirt, Christ died for us. And so this woman, she was laying there at the feet of Jesus in her sin. So many of us have been at that place. If you've been lost, you've been at the feet of Jesus in the dirt. But I love this. They came, they said, Jesus, Moses' law says to stone her. Should we stone her or should we let her go? Should we stone her or should we just let her go? You know what Jesus did? What did he say, preacher? He didn't say nothing, but there he sat down on the ground. And guess what? This woman that was in the dirt, that there was nothing that was good about her. She was an adulterer. She was caught in her nakedness. Jesus, he took his hand and he reached down into the dirt and he began to draw. Preacher, what did he do? One more time, God sent his son out of heaven and he put his hands down in the dirt. I'm glad when I was lost and undone, God did not cast me away. I think about Jeremiah chapter 18. He said, I saw the work that was on the potter's wheel. It was marred in the hand of the potter. Oh, what happened? He said, take it and make it new again. The potter has got power over the clay. When I was lost, hey, when I was lost, he reached down with his hand and he picked me up and he saved me from my sin. Say, preacher, I'm too dirty. I want to share this. Right there, they had the stones picked up, ready to throw them. You know what stones are? They're hardened dirt. They're hardened earth. Now, let me stop. I need to preach a little right here. I hope that's okay. You and me have no business digging in other people's dirt. We have got no... Now, it's the truth. You say, preacher, there's dirt on all of us. Amen to that. If you go looking, you can find some dirt. And Sean, there have been times I've been on both sides of it. There have been times I've went digging on some people when I got angry, when I got upset, and I'd sling around their dirt, and it would cause a big problem. Oh, when somebody digs a hole, if they don't want to keep that dirt, you know what they do? They spread it out. And that's the way a lot of us are in our own lives. We take the dirt that we find on others and we're happy slinging it around. Oh, but I've been on the receiving end as well. When I was wrong, when I was in sin, that people picked up dirt and slung it on me. But I like what old David said. David killed a man. David took another man's wife. Oh, but there in Isaiah or in Psalms 51, he said, wash me thoroughly from my sin and cleanse me from mine iniquity. It's not our job to find dirt on somebody else, because there's dirt at Calvary on each one of us that we've got no business commenting on. Now let me say just a word. I'm guilty of the dirt. I'm of the nature of the dirt. And now, watch right here. Jesus looked at them. They asked him again as he was drawn in the dirt. They said, "What should we do?" He said, "He that is without sin, cast the first stone." You know what a lot of us have forgotten? We need to go back to the pit. I preached a message a couple years ago, Jeremy, there at home, that Jesus saved us. I love this verse. Y'all know where I'm going. He hath brought me up out of an horrible pit. Hey, I'm glad when I was in the dirt, when I was down in the mud, the hand of God, he reached way down beneath the bottom, and he pulled me out of the dirt. Guess what? There was mud in the dirt. Sometimes we forget what Jesus saved us from. We used to be nothing. We used to be just dirty. But he brought me up. I love this. And he set my feet not in a muddy place, not in a dirty place. He set me on the solid rock and established my goings. He got me out of the dirt. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to the dirt. And right there, all of them, now listen, from the eldest down to the youngest, they dropped their stones. Now, I want to say, I believe Lima is one of the most blessed churches that I've ever known. Say amen right there. Do you love your church? Do you love it? I'm glad for my raising. I wouldn't trade it for $1 billion. Listen, being raised in a family of God, being brought to a house of God, it is worth so much, but it can't get rid of your dirt. It can't get rid of the dirt problem. And so, but I want to comment right here. For too long, I have seen churches throw rocks at every other church. I've seen preachers throw rocks at every other preacher. You know where it needs to start? It ain't going to start in the younger generation. If you want those things to be let go of, it'll start from the elders, and it'll drop all the way down to the youngest. You know what those people started saying? They quit looking at the dirt of the woman, and they started seeing the dirt of their own sin and said, "I am not worthy." Oh, but I'll tell you, when Jesus sees me, he no longer sees the dirt. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm about to preach myself happy, and whether somebody else likes it or not, you know, when he sees me, my mom sings a song, Brother Jay, when he sees me, he don't see the dirt, he don't see this man, Roy, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. I'm glad he no longer sees the dirt. He sees his son. You get saved, he'll quit seeing the dirt. He'll quit seeing it. Now, I like this. I got two things left, and I'm closing. I'm closing. Right there, Jesus never patted her on the back for the dirt. We miss this part. He saved her. He said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" Church, let me ask you, where's your accusers at? The old devil is a great accuser. Is that true? Every time, Jeremy, you just started preaching, I've been praying for you. From here to there, the devil, he's going to stir up as much dirt as he can. He would love to hinder you. Oh, but I've got a greater power than the dirt. I'm glad of that. And I love this, that right after he said, "Where are thine accusers?" She said, "I have none." He said, "Neither do I accuse thee." Now listen, don't miss this. He said, "Now go and sin no more." Chase, we missed that. Lot. We get saved and we take grace as far as it'll let us go. God did not save you to give you a license to sin. Amen. He saved us. And Paul said this, "Now that we've got grace, should we continue in sin that grace might abound?" He said, "God forbid. Do not go back to the dirt." Paul said, "Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Once
once he sets you free, you are free indeed. I'm glad I'm free. You may have bad feelings against somebody, against the preacher, but when they're saved, they're going to the same heaven you're going to. Let go of all the dirt. Let go of the dirt. Now I want to give you my last point here if I can. Let me take you into the tabernacle. That holy place. Go past the court of the Gentiles. Go past the wall of partition. Go past the molten sea that they would wash in. I've lost some of you because you don't read your Bible. Thank God for some Christians that get down in the Word of God. You know what happens when you dig into this Bible? It'll dig back into you. This is the only book that when you wrap yourself up in it, it'll wrap you right back up. The only book when you take a look in the mirror, let me preach this if I can. We have got a holy law of liberty that we are looking into. That is the very Word of God. But the Bible says in Corinthians, many beholding their face in a glass. This morning, when you got up, I hope you looked in the mirror. Because if I don't, I've got sleep in my eyes. My hair's a mess. I just look plumb dirty. I've got to go see what's wrong with me. But Bob, I've never rubbed my face on the mirror. That law can show you your sin, but it cannot save you. But it says many, beholding their face in a mirror, go away and forget what manner of man they are. If God has saved you, quit living like you're still in the dirt. Get out of there. Hey, it's good on the winning side. I'm not on the losing side. Hell will never be my home. When you go on to heaven, I'm going to miss you. When Grandpa goes on, I'm going to miss him. But when I get over yonder, you know what I'm excited about? There'll be no more dirt to reckon with. It'll all be gone. We look in that mirror and we see our dirt. We need the Word of God. Let me take you a little farther. Y'all all right? I'd like to finish this thing. Right there, you go past, you go into the holy place. They had that tabernacle with that tent. Call Larry Head. He'll preach on it. I know he will. I can't cover it all tonight. You can't cover it in 10 years. But they went beyond that. Now, there is one more division. There was an altar there, and there was a lampstand there. They would make the sacrifice. Oh, but right there's what I want to tell you about. You can look up and see it. It was in Solomon's temple. They had what was called a veil. It was in the tabernacle as well. It reached all the way up. There was no place that it was bent. There was no place it was crooked. It was in Solomon's temple, 30 feet tall and 20 feet wide and 3 inches thick. It was beautiful. And on it, there were the cherubims of glory. The angels were there protecting that holy place. Preacher, how do you know that? Way back at the Garden of Eden, the first time we see a cherubim is when Adam and Eve were cast out, and at the entrance of the garden, he placed a flaming sword. Where did he place it? Down in the dirt. Hey, you've got to be saved deeper than this flesh you're looking at. And the angel kept the way of the tree of life. But this veil, it reached from the top all the way to the bottom. Guess what it was touching at the bottom? It was touching the dirt. It was touching what was there at the bottom. Say, preacher, why is that important? Because from heaven all the way down, that is where God sent His Son. And the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm glad. Now here's my final point. I want to take you right back to Calvary. Let me speak to those of you that are lost for a minute and speak to the church if I can. I believe sometimes part of the reason sinners are so afraid of the altar is because of that little word confession.
sin. Let me tell you something. When you come get saved, I don't need to know what you did last weekend. I don't need to know what you did 20 years ago. We're not asking for that kind of confession. And somebody say, praise God. Nobody wants their dirt up on a screen. Nobody wants everything they've done being broadcast. I'm preaching to some liars tonight that God forgave. I'm preaching to some alcoholics tonight that God forgave. It's time we remember we once were just dirt, and He cleaned us up and gave us a new white robe. Here's my last bit. People think they can't get saved because of all the dirt they will find at Calvary. And I believe this helps just a little bit. Jesus already knows all of your dirt. You ever had to confess something to somebody, Bob? I'm going to share it. Grandpa's not here. I hope he's watching. I'm going to share one of his stories. He was 19, 20 years old, 21 years old. God had been dealing with him to preach. God been calling him, and it was all over him. Grandma told him he was walking the floors at night. He's praying. He didn't know what to do. He couldn't sleep. Listen, the power of God get on you, you will not be comfortable in the dirt anymore. Ain't that the truth? A lot of us today, we're missing the very power that God wants us to have. It's because we get too much dirt in the way. Oh, but I've got a Savior. I'm glad of that. Oh, but he was walking the floors. He called Grandma in. He said, Linda, I need to tell you something. She said, I already know. And he said, you don't know this. She looked him eyeball to eyeball, said, Terry, I already know what you're going to tell me. He said, you do not know, woman. He said, he's trying to help her, but she's helped him a lot more than he's helped her. Amen to that. I'll preach it like it is. And he said, well, go ahead and tell me what it is then. She looked at him and said, God's called you to preach. And he hung his head. He said, how'd you know that? Can I tell you something? When you are coming to God, he already knows all about it. When you get in trouble, he already knows everything that you're going to tell him. It's easier to confess when somebody already knows. Can I tell you tonight, Johnny and Prudy, he already knows. I'm glad when I came to him, I never told him anything new. But right here is where I want to end. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, by man came death. I preached to you this already. Adam and Eve sinned. Bible says the wages of sin is death. You ought to know that. That's in the book. But I'm glad it goes a little farther. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, it is eternal life through our Lord and Savior. And so now the Bible says, if by man came death, so by man must also be the resurrection of the dead. Hey, I want to tell you something right here. When Jesus came down, Andrew, they were looking for him. Where'd the wise men go? They went to Jerusalem. They went and found the king. We've heard a new king's in the land. He did not come born as a king. He came, the Bible says this, watch this, a root out of dry ground. When Jesus came to you and me, he came of the likeness of man. Why, preacher? Because in our likeness, we died. So for us to have victory in our likeness, he must get up from the grave. And when he died in the dirt. Preacher, what do you mean? He took on the dirt of all man, and he died, and on the third day he got up and defeated the dirt of you and me. That veil, let me finish right here. Jeremy, get ready. You're going to have invitation tonight. It's all yours. From the top to the bottom, that veil, you know, when Jesus died, he said, it is finished. That means it has been paid. The ledger is now gone. Listen, you and I love that old song. We sing it. I was always sinning, and it was growing every day. The old account. And listen, we could never pay it. But that word in the Greek, teleos, means it has been paid. when Jesus died on Calvary. Listen, don't miss this. If you've tuned me out, let me give you just 30 seconds right here. From top to the bottom, it was rent in twain. He tore it. God was the one that reached down from top to bottom. They could not do it on their own. But in Hebrews 10 and verse 20, it said, seeing that the veil was his flesh, he was torn for you and me. That veil that touched the dirt, he came in a body of dirt and he died in the dirt. But guess what? We've now got a resurrection day because he got up on the third and appointed morning. I'm free from the dirt because he rose. Here it is. I'm done. The last time that he's going to dig in the dirt, this is it. We're all going to go back to the dust. Adam, from dust thou art made, and to the dust thou shalt return. We're going to die, Dale. If the Lord don't come back, we're dead. I'd like to be alive when he comes. I don't know about you. I'd like to just already be awake. I know those that are dead, they're not going to miss a thing. Oh, the preachers of yesteryear, Billy, they're waiting on his call. They're not going to miss it. That call is going to come. Oh, but I love this. And God gave it to me tonight on the way here. And I started seeing this. And listen, Lima Church, if I've ever believed anything in our doctrine, I believe that a body is coming out of that grave. I'm telling you, we are committed to the dust. Oh, but one day we're coming out of the dust. And guess what? The last time he's ever getting down in the dirt, he's going to take his hands and that dirt's going to roll off the grave. And that old man that you used to know, he's going to become that new man. The first man is earthy, made from the ground. But the second man is the Lord from heaven. He's coming back to get us. Taylor, come on. Taylor, come on if you can. Preacher, what's that mean? He died. He took on our dirt. The Bible says this. He never sinned once. And I believe that, Carl. I had professors in college that professed to be Christian. Sean, they told me, well, I think he was a good guy. You ain't a Christian. He was more than just a good guy. I think he was a decent prophet. Guess what? He fulfilled over 500 prophecies. He was the fulfillment of prophecy. He's greater than just a prophet. He is the prophet that Moses was speaking about. Moses said, there'll come one greater than me, and the Jews have not seen it yet. But I tell you, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I'm glad to tell you tonight, even if you're still in your sin, you can be saved by the grace of God. I want to say this. Jesus came and put on dirt. He put on flesh. He's the only clean dirt that has ever existed. And he cleaned you and me up, and we've got a new body waiting on us. Jeremy, come on. Is that in order? I don't want to get out of order. If Mike needs to come, Jeremy, come on. I'll help you. Come on. Listen, stay in church. Somebody tonight, maybe you're sitting in your dirt saying, preacher, I'm just dirty. Would you rather be dirty or clean? I'm glad even when I've had dirt on me, he can still clean me up. Would you come right here? Come now. Are you ready? Listen to what he's saying. Would you come now? Giving just another word in the Lord's Prayer, when you get down to the end, we skip this part a lot because it hurts us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know why we don't get forgiveness a lot of the time? Lane, it's because we refuse to forgive others. I believe some of us tonight, we've got a handful of dirt on somebody. Listen, let go of the dirt. You know what holding on does after a certain point? Just hurts you more. I think there's some forgiveness that needs to go on. You cannot serve God and live in unforgiveness. Maybe you need forgiveness. Maybe you need to give it. I'm going to ask you tonight, will you drop the dirt? Will you let it go? When we get to heaven, listen, that person you've got dirt on that you can't stand, that hurt you, hurt your family, did all these things, you've got the right to be angry at them. But guess what? The only person that was ever qualified to throw a rock died in your place. When we get to heaven, those people you've got dirt on, they'll have no more dirt. It's all rubbed off. Ain't that the truth? How can you shout in glory with them if you can't worship on this earth with them? This earth is a dirty place. And I'll be the first to tell you, I have lived many years of dirtiness. Addiction, I'm going to get real serious. And I didn't know if I needed to go this way or not, but I'm just going to be truthful. For years, struggled with addiction in secret places. That's it. Pornography came in my life at a young age. Got exposed to it. It got its claws into me. And for years, I just let it go. Now, I'm going to say this just as tenderhearted as I can. And you'll know what I mean. I don't need to be explicit. When I was young, somebody really hurt me. That's as far as I need to go. And in those things, I made excuses for why I was living the way that I was. You can sweep dirt under the carpet for a while. I hope I'm helping. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to do that. I want to help you. If you've got addiction and you say, "Preacher, I can't let go of it," I want you to know, I ain't looked at those things in years. I thank God for setting me free from that. There is power in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that tonight? God can help you. You say, "Preacher, I'm too dirty." Jesus took all your filth. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. But He is holy. God reached down His hand out of heaven and touched you and I to make us clean. Can we sing another verse? Darren, come here.
That, and I've got just a thought, and I'm going to have you get another verse of song here. I appreciate the thought on forgiveness, and forgiveness is important. That's my whole faith is based around forgiveness. Without forgiveness, I'd just be a lost sinner boy on his way to hell. But I'm thankful tonight for forgiveness, and forgiveness isn't about forgiving the person that did you wrong. It isn't about that. What it is you letting go. It's not about whether or not someone deserves forgiveness. If we only forgave people when they deserved it, I'd be on my way to hell. hell, because there ain't no way I deserved forgiveness when I was just a six-year-old boy. And today, at 31 years old, I don't deserve forgiveness. But God loved me so much that He looked down through time and forgave me for everything that I ever done. It's important that we forgive ourselves and we forgive people the same way that God forgives us and forgives His people, and not worrying about if they deserve it or not, just worrying about letting go and loving God. It's good to be here tonight. I appreciate forgiveness tonight, and I'm going to ask Taylor to get us one more song. And if you need this altar, no matter what it's for, if you need forgiveness yourself, you come and go ahead, buddy. If you need forgiveness yourself, you come and get forgiveness down here at this altar. If you need to forgive somebody else, you come on down here to this altar and forgive them. If you need to pray for somebody that needs to forgive somebody else, you come down here and pray at this altar. If you need to pray for somebody to get forgiveness themselves, you can come find it at this altar. Come on now. Good to be here tonight. I'm thankful God forgives lost sinners. Does anybody else have anything on your heart tonight? Help him, God. Help him, Lord. It's good. Amen. Appreciate that, buddy. We'll be praying for you, most certainly. That's good. Appreciate that. Anybody else tonight? Just follow the Lord. If He's give you something to do tonight, do it. Anybody at all? I'm not in a hurry. I feel like doing this. It's honestly on my heart. My wife probably is gonna smack me when we get in the van, but I'd like to ask her to come and sing "Thank You, Lord, for Your Blessings on Me." Billy, just one more time. I want to praise Him. Just one more time before we go to the house. I just want to tell Him, thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on me. You pray for them as they come. And the altar's still open tonight. If God's calling you, you can still come. But just pray for Him, church. Appreciate them singing that song. Appreciate Brother Bo's move. Did you feel like saying anything? No. We'll just keep praying for Brother Bo. Does anybody else have anything on your heart?
But I think about that dirt that I accrue throughout the day. It's a daily thing where I have to wash myself.
Yeah.
It cleans off that dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's multiple times a day. And, you know, you might think, well, I came last week and I came to the altar and I got back in. That doesn't mean this week you're all good to go.
Right.
It's a daily occurrence that I got to wipe away the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's a daily occurrence that I got to have myself in a spot where I can help my people.
That's right.
And I appreciate that message.
Amen. It's important to, I like how Terry puts it, take a little inventory and check yourself. Make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. We've all got room to move up, that's for sure. Appreciate Andrew. Anybody else tonight? Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Anybody else tonight? If not, I'd really like to reiterate that we've got a lot to pray for. Most importantly, we've got burdens that are lost that we ought to be praying for, but also we've got a lot of people who are sick and who really need our prayers, our pastor and Roger, and I shouldn't even start naming people because I'm going to leave some out, but we've got a whole bunch of people that need prayer. We've got families who've lost people, and this is going to be their first holiday without them, and they desperately need our prayers. So church tonight, I beg of you, as you lay your head on your pillow, to say your prayers and pray for your people. It's important tonight, but most importantly, give thanks to God for how good he's been to us. I hope and wish that you all have a great Thanksgiving, and I hope you have it surrounded by love and family, and I hope you can feel the Lord. That's my favorite part about Thanksgiving, when we meet out there in the fellowship hall, and we circle up, and we start counting off, and you can just feel God just move in the presence there, and I love it. So I pray you have the same, but if nobody else has anything, we'll ask the church to stand to her feet.
And my first thought was, that's the only thing I need to be thankful this year.
Yeah.
He is risen.
Amen.
If I didn't have nothing else in my life, I could say, thank you, Lord.
Yep.
It's good to be here tonight.
Amen. Absolutely. Anybody else? If not, we're going to ask Anthony Wilder, lead us in prayer.